just kill me.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
And happy 4th of July, everyone. July 4th, it is indeed, and it's 11 a.m. here on the wake-up call, actually just a minute or two after. Thanks for joining us on your holiday. I do want to also give a shout out to the folks in Richmond's 103.1 and Levinson's 94.7. All you folks out there, don't forget you can call us during the hour today as we do a little local version of, I don't know what the proper phrase is. I don't know if we can use the one that they've been using. We call it automobile chat. What do you think, Rusty?
Whatever you say, boss.
Yeah. I don't want WNRN to be accused of stealing.
Auto chat.
Stealing, yeah, auto chat. Thank you very much. We also have Steve Bullock in. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing good.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know both you guys probably got lots of things. Rusty could be on the golf course. Steve, what might you be doing if you weren't here?
Probably with him on the golf course.
With him on the golf course. Well, I hope you have like a 12:30 or 1 o'clock tea time. Thanks for taking time out of what is a beautiful Sunday so far. And all you folks listening, write down the phone numbers. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS, if you'd like to use that. That's a toll-free for folks who are a little further out. And then I've also got the computer right here beside me. It is WNRN Studio is how you can send us an instant message. WNRN Studio on the AOL site. So we are going to be doing our little local version of auto chat. So fire up with your questions and get us going as we have Steve Bullock here from Edgecombs Audio. We have Rusty Simpre from Jim Price. Chevrolet Hyundai. What's the proper? I bought my Hyundai there.
Price Hyundai.
Price Hyundai. Thank you very much. And let me give thanks to Blue Ridge Graphics for allowing us to be on air today. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They have custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And online, brgtshirts.com. All right, let's start it up. We are going to be doing our little version of auto chat. Call up throughout the hour. We're looking for folks who you got questions about your car or your truck or your motorcycle. We do this show once a year, sometimes twice, depending on how friendly the guys are. It's free help with your car because it costs a little more to take it into the mechanic. Is that the proper word? Are you guys mechanics?
Technicians.
Yeah, it's become more technical than anything, but we still do the mechanic end too, but we're called technicians for the most part.
Yeah, because you're not secretaries, you're administrative assistants, you're not stewardesses.
Flight attendants,
that's right. So no longer mechanics, technicians is the proper word, and I'll probably forget that. Let me get a pen. So dial up with your question, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Take advantage of Steve and Rusty here today as auto technicians with their questions. And again, I had somebody, actually I guess I had two emails earlier in the week saying to please ask this question because they would listen to the podcast for the answer afterwards. So we will put the podcast up a little later on in the week. But you can send your question through instant message at WNRN Studio. All right, so well, I guess let's get started with one of the questions I got by email earlier in the week. Let's see, what is this? Oh, let's see. Paul from Charlottesville. Paul has a 2003 Toyota Camry with a horrible smell coming from his air conditioner. Smells nasty, like mildew. Could it be a plugged drain hose?
It's probably a combination of two things. It's probably that the AC drain is partially clogged, but for whatever reasons, my wife had a Corolla that used to do the same thing. There is a couple products out there that you can spray actually in the vent, and it'll kill that smell. It gives a, you know, a little bit of a sweet odor, like a, I guess an air freshener is the best way to describe it. Well, but it's got an antibacterial stuff in it to kill all that mold and bacteria that grows down in the bottom of the evaporator case. And that's what he's smelling.
Yeah, because the air conditioning evaporator actually, it heats up and cools down, gets really cold, so it sweats a lot. Therefore, it will build mildew and mold and stuff on it, which can cause an odor. So some good disinfectant, is that, or it's something to kill the germs is actually what you
need. I'm trying to think of what that stuff was called.
Frigifresh.
That's it,
Frigifresh.
It's
what BG makes, but...
Does that, I mean, okay, so that takes the smell away. Does that
you blast it through the fresh air vents out underneath your hood with it, not on recirculate, but you put your air conditioning on fresh air, turn the fan on high, you spray it like for 12 seconds out where the windshield wipers are, where there's the cowl panel,
it. Okay.
You spray it through there and it'll suck it across that evaporator core and kill the germs in it.
So, okay.
But it has a pleasant odor to it as well.
So you're not just... You're not covering it up the smell. You're actually solving the problem.
Yeah,
yeah,
this stuff's
it does
pretty expensive,
things.
Too.
I can't remember
it's
what it costs.
Like 20-some bucks a can.
I know we sell it, but I have no idea what it costs.
But Lysol would probably do the same thing if you can stand the smell of Lysol.
Yeah, just, it's something that you got to have. It's got to have antibacterial capabilities, right. What it's got to have.
All right, so there we go. We'll start off with Paul's question through email on how to fix or kill the... mildewy, nasty smell is how he put it in the car. So there you go, Paul. I hope you're listening by podcast and you get the answer to your question. So dial up with your question today. Rusty Simpre from Jim Price Chevrolet Hyundai. Steve Bullock. See, I keep saying that all the time. What are you shaking your head about?
Because Chevrolet doesn't underwrite on this program, on this station. It's Price Hyundai.
Price Hyundai will be the proper phrasing for the rest of...
I'll get fired tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
No, they won't fire you.
You should take tomorrow off then. So Rusty's from Price Hyundai. Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto. So dial up with your question or comment. You know, guys, as we sort of chat in between calls, and I realize it is a holiday, so I'm prepped. You know, I was talking with somebody about doing their own oil change. Because a lot of people, I purchased my car last year from Price Hyundai, and I'm very happy with it. But it's still in the process of, you know, where I need to take it there to get all the work done on it to keep it.
You don't have to, but...
I choose to, because I'm kind of dorky with my car problems. But this person was saying, you know, I do my own oil change, but I've been buying the synthetic oil. Is that make a difference? I mean, don't the synthetic quartz cost like twice as much?
Usually they
Three
times as much?
Yes. Just did some yesterday on Brian Meffel's car, Tuesday night, 7 to 10 on WNRN.
Sort of an in-house show today.
Yeah, he loves that synthetic oil.
I mean, it does work. I'm not going to sit here and say it doesn't. It does cut down on wear of the engines. But as far as, you know, it getting contaminated, that still happens. You know, you still got to change oil regular. You know, they say go 15,000 miles. Some of them say more. I'm hesitant to tell anybody that. With the synthetic, you know, 5 to 7, and 7 being the outside is what I would tell somebody, because, you know...
Unless you're in a really dirty, dusty, nasty area.
Right.
Then 4 to 5, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, around here, 5 to 7 is safe, but it's still... I'm hesitant to say that, but I'd only say that with a synthetic. Normal oil, no more than 5,000. I change mine every 3. But, you know, that's my personal preference, because I've seen what happens when you change oil at every 3,000 miles. The engines run better, in my opinion, and they last longer.
Yeah, you take them apart, too. They're not sludged up.
Right.
There's the tolerances in the oil galleys in these engines now are smaller and smaller and smaller, and it doesn't take much to clog one of them up. You know, you go 7,500 like the book says, and especially if you're not doing any highway driving, short trip driving is the worst thing ever on a car, because
the
oil
heat
doesn't get up to temperature and it can't clean, and it will clog one up pretty fast. So every 3, take it out and run it on the highway. And
so, as technicians, are you guys saying that it's a waste of money to buy the synthetic oil? I mean, because if you're paying 3 times as much, but you're only using it for twice as long.
Depends on your driving habits.
Yeah. Really.
Driving habits and, you know, if you're all highway miles, if you're a salesman, yeah, you can.
Absolutely. I wouldn't even be afraid of going, you know, 10,000 miles right. on it if you're constant highway driving, because the oil is constantly at temperature. There's none of that sitting, because, like I say, the contaminants come from when the engine is cooling down, and all the stuff that passes through the rings. You know, even though you got these engines are tighter and tighter and tighter tolerances, there's still going to be a trash, whether it be, you know, unburnt fuel, whatever, passing through the rings. There's no way to stop that to some degree. But it's going to go to the oil, and the oil is going to get contaminated. When you drive at constants, it's a lot less of it going on. But when you're, you know, up and down, you know, 1,500, 3,000 RPMs, then back down to idle, you know, and stop and go traffic, it's a lot harder to control that.
And also, I mean, as crappy as gasoline is this day and time, too, that's going past the rings, too. There's, you know, no such thing as perfect combustion. So anything that leaks past the rings is going straight into the oil.
Yeah. I mean, well, excuse me, straight into the oil. You're right.
What do you mean as crappy as gasoline is?
Oh, it causes more problems.
But what's the difference between gasoline now and gasoline when it wasn't crappy? We'll say 20 years ago.
There's more emission components on cars now that tend to, there's just more.
There's more additives in the fuel that
clogs things up and creates more carbon as the byproduct as it burns. So that's why they put catalytic converters on cars.
I thought the additives are supposed to be helpful.
Well, they're supposed to help for the most part, and they do to a degree. But what happens is that no matter what, there's no way to stop that carbon buildup. That's why you have certain car companies. We did a service on an 07 Subaru this past week that actually endorses an outside company. The company's name is BG. They are telling you to use their product because they're saying that they know they have an issue with things getting clogged up, stopped up, and dirty. They're saying use their product and it will help with that. Which that's the first time I, and this was actually in the manual for them.
Really?
Oh, Subaru, I was shocked. Manual. Okay. It was in a Subaru manual telling us to use their product. Which one of the products? We carry a line of their products, but we didn't carry this actual product that they were calling for, and we had to call and get it so that the guy would be, you know, warranty conformant. And that's what a lot of things are, you know, it just, but I was shocked actually when we were reading it. It was just, it was right there and, you know, big bold print. But they are endorsing the product because they know that the engine gets dirty. And I mean, that says a lot from Subaru. I mean, they're actually researching what's going on. And
that's pretty cool, because BG has been on the wagon since day one with their 44K and stuff. They knew that gas quality was declining, then they came out with their products to kind of help eliminate a lot of the carbon that ends up in the engines, and good deal.
And I'll say this, the products they have work. It's unbelievable how well they work.
Our 1114, dial us up, ask your question, send it over the email or instant message if you prefer. 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you're in the toll-free needed area. Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai, Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto, answering questions and just tossing out information. And let's see.
What do you think bleach with a little water mixed would do to an air conditioning evaporator? Like you dropped a blower out of it? No, it would clean it. It would kill the germs in there.
It would absolutely clean it, but I think the Clorox smell would be...
It would end up on the carpet, too.
Right. Let's take this
That's
call.
What I would think.
But that would kill the germs.
No. Caller, are you with us?
Hello?
Yep. What's your name and where are you from?
I'm Kelly Robinson. I'm from Ivy here in Charlottesville.
All right, Kelly, what's your question?
Yeah, I have a 99 Chevy S10, and there's two problems that I've been noticing lately. Between 40 and 50, it kind of like undulates, it goes, and you can like feel it too, when you're driving, it like kind of moves your body back and forth. And so to solve the problem, you like kind of have to stomp on the gas pedal and push the gears up, I guess. And then the other one is, on like 64, when you're driving at high speeds, it goes from 2,000 RPMs to 3,000 RPMs without increasing in speed.
Torque converter.
It sounds like it may be either a torque converter shutter, or you may have something going on. Let me ask you this: is the check engine light on?
service engine soon?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I'm just gonna give it a guess. It's probably got a slip code in it.
P1870.
That's what I was gonna say.
The code.
And what that is, those things had issues when they got, if they haven't been serviced regular, or it is used in towing and it's not put into drive rather than overdrive when you're towing. What happens is it creates a lot of heat in the transmission, and it does a lot of damage to the third and fourth gear clutch. And when you go into what they call lockup, that's when you'll really notice it. And that'll give you, like, which we call it a shutter, and it's not so much an undulation, it's more of a shutter. And when you get it to where it's doing that upshift, downshift thing,
it's trying to lock the converter
in.
Because the converter is supposed to lock up and make it like another gear, and if it's in and out, or... if it slips at all, it's just going to try to release it. And
what would be the fix? I mean,
how's your other gears? How's second and third gear? Are they a little stiffer? Do they shift harder?
Really, between 40 and 50, it gives me problems, at higher speeds, but not so much at the higher speeds as the RPMs.
Do those go wide open line pressure though when they get that slip code in there and make it bang into second and third? 99. I don't think it did.
I can't remember for sure. Those were the ones, though, that we were having all kinds of issues with when I was still working at the dealer. They were throwing that 1870 code a lot, and what it was is it was actually, if I remember right, it was something going on in the valve body.
Well, they changed the solenoid. They did the same thing with the Isuzus. If you had a certain color solenoid in there, throw it in the trash and get a new green one or something. If that didn't fix it, then you had to pretty much put a unit in it. But
yeah, that's what I remember, was we were doing a lot of that stuff. Unfortunately, what you need to do is we need to find out what that code is. If it's
what's making the light come on,
and depending on how bad the transmission is, as far as the transmission fluid, depending on how bad that is, there you might get lucky and save it, and then again, it may kill it once you get it working right. I hate to tell you that. But sometimes, you know, you can save them by putting the solenoid in it and flushing them out, but sometimes it'll also, you know, it'll do them in.
Yeah, we just took it to a mechanic, and the mechanic said that you put an additive in the transmission.
Right.
So what is an additive?
It depends on what kind it is. Most of them are just something to help with the shifting. It's basically
a conditioner.
It's basically trying to boost the lubricating property in the actual, I guess, the... viscosity of the transmission fluid. Right. It's just more or less trying to get everything freed up as best it can, but depending on how contaminated the fluid is, it may not do anything.
And you say I have to find this code, you say?
Well, yeah, you'll have to get it scanned by somebody that's got, you know, a scan tool that'll read it.
Advance can do it for free.
Yeah, they should be able to read that code. It's a regular P code.
Okay, so at Advanced Auto Parts, just go in and ask them to read a code?
Yeah, they got the little code readers. They'll come out in the parking lot and hook it up and just write it down. And.
But that's going to be your best bet, is find out what that code is, because it could even be didn't those things have problems with the TPSs on them,
too? They had so many updates and stuff to those transmissions.
Hey, Kelly, it sounds like you need to be wearing your seatbelt. All right, man.
All right, man, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I guess TP could do it as well.
Yeah, because that's part of what controls that thing when it goes into lockup.
All right, phones are ringing. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, I know you were dialing up. I am answering the phones myself today, but I'm going to ask you to hang on just a second so I can take my 20 after break. Be right there.
Sure.
All right, it is 11:20 here on the Wake Up Call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today. Highs in the low 90s. Clear tonight. Lows 60 to 65. Then mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the mid 90s. Right now, it's a nice, beautiful day, 79 in the Valley, 79 in Lynchburg, 80 in Richmond, 81 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be here today. Summer is here. Blue Ridge has cool clothes for hot climates, as well as sandals and camping equipment for outdoor adventures. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is also your headquarters for kayaks and canoes and stand-up paddle boats. The mountains are calling you. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville. They're on West Broad and at Chesterfield Town Center in Richmond, plus BRMS.com. All right. I see the one line ringing. Guys, just play along today. I'll answer it when I can. Right now, back to our caller now. Caller, what's your name?
Yeah, Dave.
Dave, and where are you?
Lake Monticello.
All right, Dave. Questions for Steve and Rusty.
Yeah, I have a 1990 Chevy Lumina 3.1 engine. And the brakes, I mean, this could be any model, I guess, but the brakes, when I first start the car and running out the door with it, they hiss. So there's air in the line or there's something else going on. I'm concerned about the master.
You're hearing a hiss
cylinder,
in the car when you apply?
I drive the car for a while.
Are you hearing the hiss in the car?
They're not soft. Yeah, on the brake pedal, it just...
The brake booster's going bad.
Yeah, something's going on.
Yeah, what it is, the brake booster, it's a vacuum booster, and what it is it has a big rubber diaphragm in it, and when it starts to leak, you'll actually hear a hiss in the car, and it might be that it's just warped a little inside the housing, and sometimes the hiss will actually go away for a little while.
You know,
what's it called again?
It's called a brake booster.
Power brake booster.
Power brake booster, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not the cylinder.
No, actually your pedal would actually kind of feel hard when it starts to go bad. The pedal will actually feel better.
Okay. That's right, not as big a job then.
Huh, pardon?
Is it as big a job as the master brake cylinder? Or?
Yeah, you got to take the cylinder off and then probably go inside the car. There'll
like
be
four
like
bolts
four bolts up on top of the brake pedal that you got to take loose, and then you slide the booster out from underneath the hood.
Other than that, it runs great. It's got about 85,000 miles on it. It's 20 years old.
That's,
that's
low
nothing.
Mileage for
that's
that.
Low. I have a 96 with 194 on it.
All right. Great cars.
Thanks.
Good
cars.
Everything fixed, man.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, it is Sunday morning wake-up call. We've got Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto and our own Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. And let's see, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dial us up. And we got another call here. Caller, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Name, and where are you today?
I'm in Charlottesville. My name's Lizette.
All right. Fire away. What's the question?
Yeah, I have a 2007 Kia. How often should I get this puppy tuned up?
I believe, Rusty, you're probably going to be more up on that than
what
I
kind
am.
Of, what kind of Kia is it?
A Kia Rio.
Rio?
Yeah.
And they do have platinum plugs in them. I'm going to say 07, probably about every 60,000 miles.
Okay.
It used to be 25,000 plugs, points, condenser, and then they went to electronic ignition, would get you to what?
30 to 40, 45,
and now Kia Rio with that engine, you have about 60,000, and some of the newer vehicles are 100,000, so, but, yeah, plugs and wires, highly recommend wires as well. So.
Right. Thanks, Lizette.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, 1124, call up with your question. Phone lines are open. I'm answering myself today, so if it keeps on ringing, just keep on waiting. Well, and there we go again. I got this other question that I got email before we started, so don't let me forget that. And we got another caller. Caller, what's your name and where are you hanging out?
My name is Dan. Do I need to turn my radio down?
Yeah, turn your radio down just a little bit and just listen to us by phone if you can.
Okay.
All right, Dan. Question for the boys.
Okay. I have a 2005 Chevy Colorado with a 5-cylinder engine and a straight transmission. And if I park this car or this truck on a little bit of an incline, either in low gear or reverse, and don't set the emergency brake, it'll roll away. I've had pickups all my life, and all of them with straight transmissions, and I've been around trucks all my life. This is the first one I ever owned that would roll away when it was parked in gear, unless it had a big load on it.
Oh.
Thanks.
That motor does have that variable timing thing on it. I wonder if it is letting the exhaust valve stay open a little bit. I can't say I've ever experienced that in one of those things, and I was working at the dealer when those things were around.
I'm gonna try the next one I get in, but I mean, if it's in gear with the clutch out, it might roll a foot or so, but it should stop.
It
you know, because the compression of the engine should stop the vehicle with the clutch out and it in gear.
This thing will roll to flat ground. It just rolls in increments. It'll roll maybe a quarter turn of the wheels. It makes me think that about if the crank turned over about twice,
wow,
then it'll stop, and then it'll roll again.
Hmm.
And, of course, the steeper the ground, the quicker it rolls. But it will do it on a very slight incline.
No check engine lights or anything on?
Nope.
Runs great on the road?
Oh, like a dream. Great gas mileage, plenty of power. I love the truck, and the only thing is, you just got to remember to set that brake, and it's a habit that I never really acquired from driving tractors as a kid and everything, and so I've taken it back to the dealer, and Chevy's comment is, it's just the way it is.
Hmm.
But I've talked to numerous people, and nobody agrees that a vehicle with a straight transmission ought to roll away unless it's on a fairly steep grade with maybe a heavy load on it. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree
with
that.
I'd agree with that, but it's like I say, that motor's different. And I'm not saying that as a bad way. That motor's a little bit different than most of your standard motors, too, because there's four valves per cylinder in that thing. I'm wondering if it would
matter what gear he was keeping it in?
It shouldn't.
But
reverse is the same thing as second. It's just the backside of it, and
right.
First is just a low gear. It'll only do it in those two, right?
Well, I never park in a higher gear.
I'd park that thing in third and see what it does, because that's a taller gear, and see if that makes a difference. Pardon?
I better stay in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you to get out. I'd stay, just park it in third and see what it does. Yeah, I'm not telling you to get out of it until after you see what it does.
All right.
Yeah,
that's pretty odd, though.
Don't have any idea what might be causing.
The only thing I could say is it would have to be a compression leak down. That's the only thing I could see doing it.
Well, my thinking is if I had a compression leak, that's what it seems to me. I'm thinking it's in the valves, too, if the head gasket were blown, but I'm not having any...
No, you'd know if that head gasket was blown.
I know a little about them, too, and I know if the head gasket were blown, that I'd notice that right away. But the thing runs well. It's got plenty of power. I was listening to your comments about the oil changes, and I do a lot of Interstate 81 driving.
Right.
And
how many miles are on the truck, sir?
Set the cruise at 65 and just kind of sit back and take it easy. That truck will get 25 and a half miles a gallon using whatever kind of gas. I favor Shell because the mechanic told me the technician told me that it was a cleaner gas and would help the engine stay cleaner.
You get better gas mileage with Shell gas, too. That's pretty good stuff.
Like I say, running on the interstate and at 65 on the cruise.
Sorry, Rick.
I can get 25 and a half. No.
Exxon.
Got 100,000 miles on it.
How many miles are on the truck?
100,000.
Hmm.
But this rollaway thing happened from when it was new, and I've had it back to the shop, and they pretty much say, well, I guess you'll have to deal with it.
And the clutch works okay? You don't feel any slippage in the clutch, and it doesn't come way out before the truck takes off or anything?
No, the clutch is fine.
Because I know it's hydraulic, but sometimes there's still an adjustment on the pedal that might...
Well, if it were the clutch, though, if the clutch was what's causing it to slip away, or if the clutch was slipping enough so that it would cause it to move...
You'd be slip while you were driving it, too.
The
third and fourth gear, or especially high gear, it'd be slipping, wouldn't it?
That's true.
Sir.
It should be, but...
This truck's got that 373 gear, so, I know if I get in fifth gear and... I want to maintain any kind of a highway speed. If the clutch is not righteous, it's going to slip.
Correct.
The only thing I can figure is that it might be, like I say, that thing has got the exhaust cam on that thing is a variable cam. That thing can vary, I think it's 15, 20 degrees in either direction. And they did it for an emission purpose. The only thing I can figure is that when the engine gets pressure on it, that somehow or another it is opening an exhaust valve. That's the only thing I can think of that could potentially do this.
Those things set trouble codes immediately, though, and you'd have misfires if that valve was sticking, that variable valve solenoid.
Yeah, but if he's turning backwards with the engine off, that's the only thing I'm figuring. If it's staying pressurized, and it might be actually when the motor is getting pressure on it and it tries to turn back.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? It might
but
open
it's an electronic solenoid.
Yeah, but it's still got pressure up there.
Trying to hold...
That's the only explanation I can even think of, and I may be way off.
Nobody else has been able to come up with anything. It seems to me it's got to be if it's If it lets it roll, it's got to be one of two things. It's either losing compression, or as you mentioned earlier, it's slipping through the clutch. And I know it's not the clutch.
Yeah, okay. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, I've had quite a few of those cylinder heads off. Because the earlier ones about the model you have, they had a misfire issue with
carbon.
It was carbon valve guides. It was they had a whole bunch of stuff going on with them, and they were trying different stuff to repair them. First, it was valve springs, then it was valve guides, and then it was a whole cylinder head. I don't know if they're having those issues anymore. I would hope they have fixed it by now, because I haven't been around them since 2007.
Did the dealer check compression when they looked at it before?
Yes.
It's all within specs.
They said.
Did they do a leak down test on it?
No, I don't know about that.
Now that's a true test of a cylinder.
Uh-huh.
Put air on the cylinder and close valves.
That's when you actually pressurize the cylinder at top dead center. A compression test, I've seen you have a small leak in like a piston or a ring or something like that, and that thing will build great compression. I've seen a hole in a piston build compression, and it's okay. It's not great, but it should run. But you know, when you do a leak down test, that's going to tell you how much pressure the cylinder is actually holding.
Right.
And if it leaks, it either goes in, you know, out the tailpipe, up through the throttle, or out the radiator, or
you'll find
in the valve cover somewhere. So it's you can actually see it leaking off.
That's a good question. That's
a new one to me. I'm going to try the next one, little Isuzu I pickup I get in with the manual. I'm going to try it. We got a pretty good hill out there. I can park it on.
You have stumped the boys almost. They've got a couple suggestions there. Sound like they haven't been tried. My suggestion is call in next week when we have Lee Channing, psychic, on.
Yeah, what color is his truck?
All right, what color is his truck? All right, man. Good luck with that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you. Keep that emergency brake working good. That's all you can do.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 1133 here on the Wake Up Call. Steve Bullock from Edgecombs. Rusty Simpray from Price Hyundai. Call us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. And it's because of folks like Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro that we're allowed to be here today. They feature male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available, and they can create work from a design you provide, too. Piercing is also available. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro, here in Charlottesville, 701 West Main Street. For more information, it's benaroundtattoos.com. All right, light up those phones with your questions, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Guys, here's another question that I got before, I guess, earlier in the week when we were doing the promos that you guys were going to be on. This is Abby, who lives in Rutgersville, and Subaru Forester. When I stop at stop signs, my Subaru Forester shakes. It is that type of shake that cars having manual transmissions get, and the driver doesn't know how to properly use the clutch. Then my engine dies. It will start right back up, and it drives fine until the next time I have to stop.
It could be a couple different things. More than likely, if the service engine light is on, it may be the actual idle air control solenoid on that thing. It could actually have a misfire going on in there as well. These engines, like I say, they got to be serviced about every 30,000 miles. And the plugs on those things do wear kind of odd. And depending on, you know, it might do fine going down the road. It could be a possible vacuum leak. It's one of those things that somebody needs to take a look at it. It could even have a massive carbon buildup on top of the valves. And what happens is when it gets down at idle, it works like a sponge and it'll absorb all the fuel going through it. It could be a number of things, and I am guessing at those things, but it could be a combination of all those things. Subarus, like I say, you have to change the plugs in those things roughly about every 30,000 miles, unless it's a six-cylinder, and that's because they use platinums. It's like I say, it's one of those things, it's really hard to diagnose something like that because it could be so many different things.
Do they have an EGR valve, Stephen?
Yes, I think that one does.
What the heck is an EGR valve?
Exhaust gas recirculation. If it ever sticks open, it takes a major gulp of air into the engine when the engine's not ready for it.
It'll lean the engine out.
Yeah, it's just like an air leak.
Is that like choking when the water goes down the wrong...
it's kind of the same thing. It's just the difference is it's air rather than water.
It's exhaust gas that's already been burned. Therefore, it can't be burnt again. So it's used to cool down the temperatures on top of the pistons and the bottom of the valves inside the engine. And if it sticks open, it's just like a major air leak. And the computer can't give the car enough fuel to compensate for the air. So EGR valve.
All right, Abby, I hope you are listening by podcast. And thanks for sending the email beforehand. I hope you get that answer. All right. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is open right now. Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto here in Charlottesville. Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. And we got a caller online. Caller, how are you? Are you still with me?
Yes, sir. This is me.
All right. What's the name?
My name is Jamie from Gordonsville.
Jamie, question for the guys?
Yes, sir. I have a 1998 Chevy Venture minivan. Automatic transmission, and I'm hearing a noise. When my foot is on the accelerator, it's fine. When I let off, it sounds like something humming in the front left wheel, front driver's side wheel area.
Axle, hub bearing?
It might be it could be an axle or a hub bearing. It could actually be... Don't those things... Wasn't that the one that had trouble with the transmission bearing? I can't remember.
Remember there seeing too many Venture transmissions torn apart, but...
Because that was the
I see a lot of hub bearings going in.
Yeah, the hub bearings... It's possibly a hub bearing.
But it only
it could
does
even
it
be an axle.
When you... what was that again? Accelerate, it makes noise. You let off, it doesn't?
When you on the accelerator, it's fine. When you let off and coast, you hear the noise.
Could be in the differential part of the transmission too,
That's what I'm kind of thinking is that might actually be in like the what they call it, the spider gears inside the transmission. They might have a little bit of it might be that they're off a little bit as far as a bearing might be failing in there and causing a little bit of an odd wear problem. That's one that, you know, like I say, it could be an axle as well. Because an axle, sometimes the joints will actually get worn when, as long as they got pressure on them, they're fine. But as soon as you take the pressure off, you know, like what you're describing in a coast, they'll make all kinds of weird noises. Usually they make like a pretty decent clunking noise is what they usually make.
Yeah, hub bearing is that's going to howl all the time, whether you're accelerating or decelerating. But I'm thinking axle or something in the differential part of the transmission. And the noise is just shooting out of that left axle, and it just sounds like it's in that left front wheel.
Because that's the shortest axle on that thing.
Right. But might be looking at a tranny problem.
All right, man. Boy. Best of luck. Thanks
Good
for calling.
Luck.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Both phone lines are open, 979-0919. Toll free, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right, but I'm going to ask you to be patient and wait while I take this quick break, all right? We'll be right back.
Okay.
It is 11:39 on the wake-up call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, how does a three-minute storm put the hurt on Charlottesville? Power outages, meaning no air conditioning, tree damages, and near death. The Hook tells the stories and shares the pictures. Having trouble remembering appointments, staying on task? Could you be one of those folks who might benefit from a little Ritalin? Dr. Hook tells some of the signs of attention deficit disorder in adults. And our local restaurant week is upon us. Make your plans now. The Hook, for all ages. And support today coming from the Down by the River Festival, the summer picnic of the year, July 11th, presented by Kirk Avenue Music Hall in Roanoke. Down by the River is a full day of music with the Derek Trucks, Susan Tedeschi Band. Ooh, Southern Culture on the Skids. I love them. It's more than a concert. There's artisans, crafters, and a kids' world. For tickets and the full lineup, it's downbytheriver.org or check it out on the link at WNRN. www.thefirstauto.org. And the man just walked in the room. Drew Thompson will be here at noon with Les Thames Perdue. It'll have the best of college, alternative, and underground music from the 80s and 90s. Also, remember, at least one song heard during the second hour of Les Temps will be featured on the Plan 9 Pop Quiz the following week. All right, back in action with Rusty Simpre and Steve Bullock and our caller. Hey, what's your name?
Hey, my name's Ivan.
Ivan, questions?
Yeah, I've got a, well, first of all, happy 4th of July, and I've got a 2002 Subaru WRX, just under 90,000 miles. And when I'm taking a right turn going about 20 miles an hour, you know, a little fast on a right turn, not too fast though, but I hear a noise on the suspension that's on the right side. It's almost like a rrr, rrr, rrr. And it doesn't make the noise when I turn left. And I didn't know. Someone said it could be a hub.
That's a pretty good chance that it is on those. When you put the Subaru axles and the hubs on those things, usually the hub will start howling on them. But those things, when you get a lot of pressure on them, sometimes they'll make some pretty weird noises when they get a little bit of wear in them. It's not at that point where it's making like the normal like grinding noise or howling noise is what it usually does. I have put them in the cars when they start doing that stuff, but it's usually like a squawk when it does it, and it'll only do it when you put it under pressure in a turn. But you got to put it under a decent amount of pressure. It's not something that, you know, just a normal everyday turn. You got to put it under
20 miles an hour is pretty decent if you're making a turn. So
you got to put it pretty hard and pulling at the same time with it.
Are you driving it that fast on turns?
Well, on back roads and stuff, that's not
that
fast.
Well, they probably can't help it. That car will roll. I've driven a few.
It's only on it doesn't happen when I turn left, just when I turn right.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm going like 20 miles an hour, taking a right turn, you can definitely hear it. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it could be a couple different things. You know, I would have to hear it and drive it to see what I thought. It sounds like it could either be an axle or a bearing on that particular model.
And I also had a question about timing belts. I've heard different things on when you should change a timing belt.
It's due at 105 on that car. 105,000.
105,000? 105,000.
And I would recommend when you do it, you do the belt, do all your idler pulleys, and do your water pump at the same time.
Okay.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yes, happy 4th.
And as someone who was sitting on the side of Interstate 64 when their timing belt broke at 120,000 miles on my Plymouth Horizon, that sucks. Get a change before you have that problem. All right, 1144. Dial us up for your question, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. All right, just a couple quick questions for you guys while we wait for the next call to come in. I'm getting ready to go on a trip. Had to take some of the things out of my car so we could get everything in there. What are some basic items that you should always have with you when traveling? Like, I left the jumper cables in there.
Very good.
But what else should I have in there?
Flashlight with extra batteries.
Cell phone and the cell phone charger.
I got all that for when we get there. But I'm talking, you know, but stuff, I mean, those are great.
Make
so
sure
I'm covered with that.
Spare
Do I need
tire.
A gallon of water? Do I need, you know, stuff like that?
If it's leaking that bad, if you get a coolant leaking at this point in day and age, it's kind of pretty much pointless to pour anything else in and try and drive it because you'll only do more damage. Jumper cable's a good thing to keep with you. You know, any type of communication device. It's just those things, you know.
I've seen road flares in trunks before. It's a good idea.
But you
if
know,
you're on the interstate, throw a couple flares out there so people can see you.
Or they even have those markers that are shaped like little triangles that you can get. You
right.
Know, that kind of stuff, you know, if you're going to be doing a lot of interstate driving. But there's really not too much to take with you anymore. I mean, honestly, I have AAA. I mean, there's not too much I can do to a car if it breaks down on me on the side of the road. Because, one, I don't have a scan tool, and I'm not going to have the ability to really do anything.
I've done a bunch of stuff on the side of the road. I've been there numerous times as well with my kids and whatnot.
I still have my need some help, just say the word, assistance from myhyundai.com.
Right. You have roadside assistance for 5 years on limited miles, so call them. But not everybody has that,
I purchased
though,
that from Price Hyundai here
right.
in town.
Yeah.
Rusty Simpre.
But yeah, that's about the best piece of advice I can give you because it's truthfully there's only so much you can do on the side of the road anymore with modern cars. I mean, you know, 35 years ago, you could do just about everything to the car you need to if it broke down on the side of the road.
A set of sockets.
Now it's a computer.
Fuel pump. Yeah, if it's a computer, you're
that's
done.
Right. Now it's a computer.
Right.
That's why you guys are technicians and not mechanics. Right.
You know, you get an electrical problem where you're going to have to basically sit down and start tracing and pull all your hair out at the same time. You know, those kind of problems happen. And you know, it's just your cars are a whole lot more dependable now, but when they break, they break.
All you can do now is just think of bad safety items, just in case you are on the side of the road, you know, 9mm pistol or something on it.
Nice.
45, don't all play right, around.
979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Dial us up with your question for Steve Bullock from Edgecombs Auto, Rusty Simpre from Price Hyundai. All right, here's one that I got. WNRN Studio, by the way, you can send your question through instant message that way. Here's one I got that way a little while ago. I'm thinking of purchasing a car manufactured by General Motors. I was wondering if I would have any problems getting it repaired or getting parts since the brand and model I want will be out of production.
It all depends. If it was a real popular model that they had out, they'll carry parts for at least 10 years.
That's what I was thinking. Usually 10 years is about the limit on parts, and then slowly they'll start to discontinue parts, depending
things.
On how many they sell.
Let me do this real quick. Ron, if you're still listening, then you know, send me the message saying what make and model you were talking about here so these guys can get a little more detailed.
That would help.
Yeah, because but, if it's something like a Corvette, you'll be able to get parts for it anywhere, depending on what year, never whatever year it is, because there's so many different companies out there that make things.
All right,
for
so let's assume that it's one of the not so popular types. He just found it from a neighbor who's selling it because it's, you know,
well, the only one
that the old lady down the street who's only put, you know, 15,000 miles on this car, and he's gonna pick it up.
Well, if it's like, you know, the Cavaliers or Lumina or something like that, those things, there's piles of them still in the salvage yards because there's just so many of them on the road.
Usually around 10 years. You'll start to see parts start to be discontinued. Like I say, depending on how many they sell. Aftermarket companies can still get stuff, you know, after the dealer discontinues them. You still got a chance with aftermarket people, you know, Federated Auto Parts or Advance Auto or somebody like that, but
yeah, pretty much all the motor and electronic stuff you'll probably be able to get because they used it on more than one thing.
And just because I say discontinued, that's still not totally wiping out because there is a warehouse out in California that when they discontinue a part, it ends up in this warehouse at California and you can still get stuff from
Amazon. It ends up on eBay.
Yeah, eBay or out in the big warehouse in California. They pick up a lot of discontinued stuff. So you still got a chance. So.
All right, Ron. Again, 11:49 on the wake-up call. Dial us up. You got about 10 minutes left for your automobile question. 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let me shout out to Sugar Snap, local business supporting WNRN. They offer gently used baby and kid items, including shoes and hats, plus maternity and nursing clothes. Also at Sugar Snap, you'll find cloth, diapers, and locally made items. A kid-friendly play area also available. While you shop, you can become a fan of Sugar Snap on Facebook or Twitter. More online at sugarsnapconsignment.com. All right, we got the boys here in the studio for another 10 minutes. Dial us up 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Hey, you guys were talking earlier about and I can't remember, I want to say it was the gentleman from Ivy who called up, but talking about having your car towed, one of the issues with, and I may be completely improperly remembering the call, but you were talking about somebody's car being towed and it not put in the proper gear or whatever.
I was probably talking about people not grabbing it by the correct axle, because they were probably grabbing it by the freewheeling axle and pulling by where the transmission axle is actually turning. That's not a good thing. Most of the tow companies around here now, I think it's getting to the point where you have to have people that are actually licensed tow truck drivers. They actually are supposed to know what's going on.
Why we're seeing more and more rollbacks.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be dragging wheels down the ground, especially on a four-wheel drive. I got a friend in Madison with the shop, and he at a rodeo towed from like Pennsylvania down here. He started it up and wanted to know why it wouldn't move. And
it's yeah.
Tranny gone, transfer case gone, everything.
But if you see somebody come with like a regular style tow truck, you know, you'll see a lot of times these guys, they're actually pulling out the what they call the little bogey wheels that sit in the back of them, and they're putting them underneath the rear axle because they can't grab it any other way. You're seeing a lot more of that stuff. I mean, you see a lot more drivers. They're doing what they're supposed to do. I mean, they're looking out for the vehicle.
Consult your owner's manual. It's all kinds of tow instructions in there.
Yeah, but usually when you get your car towed, it's because I would think that at least 50% of the time, it's because you're not there at the time. It's not because it's over at least in this town.
That happens a lot.
I don't know about Richmond or Harrisonburg or some of the other listening areas, but I think in Charlottesville, there's a very hefty percentage of cars that are towed for parking in the wrong spot, not because it needs to be towed because it won't start.
Well, to prevent damage, though, make sure you inform the tow company of exactly what kind of vehicle it is, year model, make and model, and is it four-wheel drive or not, so they can bring adequate equipment to safely tow it.
All right, here's a question from Jupe of Charlottesville. My 1999 Ford Taurus temperature gauge will go to hot if I sit at a stoplight or have the car in park. Also, it blows cold air out of the vents.
It's
thermostat might be part of the problem. Water pump could also be the problem on that thing.
Just sitting at stops, I'm thinking they had some cooling fan issues on those cars as well. Low on antifreeze would give you the cold air out of the vents with no heat and make it overheat. So I would make sure it had plenty of coolant in it, in the radiator as well as the reservoir. And
it could also be a blown head gasket.
Could be a head gasket too. If it keeps pushing coolant over into the reservoir, then you got compression leaking into the cooling system, which would put air in the cooling system and not let it circulate. You would have cold air as well, and the temperature gauge would go up. But I'm thinking if it cools back down going down the road, then that's either the fan's not working or something's still just not
getting totally full of antifreeze. Waste too much time because, those engines were well known for blowing head gaskets.
The 1999 version or
any
just
of the Taurus
the
with Ford that Taurus,
the most popular
car
in America for years.
It was,
but they did have head gasket issues.
All
right. I was told to ask just on my drive over here what the car should be done for summer maintenance. Of course, now that it's July 4th and we're a month into ridiculously hot weather, but go ahead. Fire away with that.
Well, the biggest thing is you want to make sure that it's got plenty of cooling in it and the cooling fans are working. Definitely make sure that, you know, the AC is working if you have it, because it's one of those things, it's a creature comfort, but it's nice to have. You want to make sure everything, all your fluids are topped off, you know. You want to make sure it's pretty much the same thing you do in the winter. It's just that during the summer, the antifreeze is just as important as it is in the winter, because it's going to keep the car cool.
Yeah, belts and hoses, because the hoses are going to get a little bit hotter than they usually do during cooler weather. So give them a good squeeze and make sure they're not all mushy, and because their hot weather is when those things usually, you know, break and fail. So,
all right, let's take this call. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine. What's the name and where are you?
This is Mike from Richmond.
All right, Mike. Question.
Yes, I have a 99 F-350 with a V10 engine, and at idle, it lopes, the RPM goes from like 1,000 down to 500, goes up and down and wants to stall. And it's making like a hissing noise, I guess like where air comes into the carburetor.
It sounds like it's got a vacuum leak is what it sounds like. It could also be... trying to think how that, I've only seen a couple of those things with the V10s in them.
Do they have the idle air control valves just like all Fords? Because those things gave a bunch of trouble too.
I haven't done that much to them. That's the problem.
I've never seen one, not a V10.
All I've really done to one of those V10s is service.
Bank 1 running which, bank 2 running which, but I didn't write the code numbers down.
If it's doing that, you've got a possibility that you may have the O2 sensors are failing in it, and they could be throwing way more fuel to it than what they should. It could be a fuel pressure regulator is fouling up and dropping more fuel into the intake than what it should. It's one of those things that, you know, it could even be a mass airflow meter is bad.
That would make it do it on both banks.
Yeah.
If you got the wrong mass airflow signal coming in there.
Then, okay, mass airflow sensor?
Yeah, but yeah, that's just one of those things where you'd have to watch it and see what it's doing with under a data screen and make sure that it's reading within the specs. And without having a system in front of me to tell you, I don't know what the spec is on that thing.
I gotcha. But
that's a mass meter. I can't remember if you can take those apart or not, because they had a problem with that back in, on all cars had a problem with that back in, you know, about 10-15 years ago, where the mass meter would actually get dirty and you actually had to clean it. It'd get like a fur ball on the actual sensor itself, and you cleaned it up and everything would run great.
Yeah, I've cleaned them before on the Ford Tauruses, 96 up to 99. Those come apart. And
but I'm not sure if that one has the same system.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one, boss. Without some diagnostic equipment, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Sounds like a ticket to the garage.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Thank you very much.
All right. Last few minutes with our technicians, Steve Bullock and Rusty Simpre. If you got a question, you better dial us up quickly. 979-0919-1877. WNRN Rocks. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And I meant to do this earlier, but Thursday, July 8th, Congressman Tom Perriello will be the celebrity bartender during a special evening at Sips Wine and Champagne Bar in downtown Charlottesville. Sips is hosting Celebrity Bartender Thursdays. And this Thursday, the programs of the Sexual Assault Resource Agency and the Shelter for Help in Emergency will benefit. 10% of the proceeds made during the two-hour event go to the local charities. That's 5:30 to 7:30 on Thursday, July 8th. And I don't know, you can either go have some or maybe you can have a protest, depending on your side for Tom Perriello. All right, here's what may be the very last question. Honda CRV 1999, air conditioner causes car to jerk and stall. Could you please tell me what may be causing this?
Those things, they've got the idle air control valve on those things. They have a tendency to get a carbon buildup around them. And what you can do is that one, it has to, if it's got it, you have to pull it off and check it. And once you clean the screen out on it, and put it back together, it'll probably run fine. But I'd also recommend doing it what they call an induction cleaning, because that'll clean out all the rest of the residue that's inside the intake that probably caused the problem in the first place. They really seem to take well to it when you've done it. I've done a few of them for doing the same thing, but it's one of those things where you have to check and see if that's what it is. And the only way to check it is to actually pull that IEC off and look at it.
All right. It takes us to 12 o'clock. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Happy 4th of July.
Same to you.
Appreciate it.
Happy 4th.
Next Sunday, as we mentioned earlier, Lee Channing will be here. We'll call her up with your car question and see if she can help you with that or some other things that may be going on in your life. Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps-Perdue. Happy Independence Day, boys and girls.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.
WNRN.